Joined in studio now by Northfield's Mayor Rhonda Pownell and City Administrator Ben Martig. Good morning.
Good morning.
How is everyone today?
Good morning.
Fantastic.
Good. You had a council meeting last night that very interesting. Not that, that all of them aren't, but you had a couple of things that people have been really looking for and has caught the attention of the public, and that is the Graywood property. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes, and also the proposed tax levy was. Preliminary tax levy was decided last night. Before we get into that, let's. I noticed something yesterday on the consent agenda, and that was a gift from Aurora Pharmaceutical of some things for the Cannon River Trail. I thought, boy, that's pretty cool. I'd like to mention that today.
Yeah. So we are very fortunate. Aurora Pharmaceuticals is just a wonderful business located right here in Northfield. They are locally owned, operated, and doing a fantastic job. There are, just in case some people don't know, they're a veterinary pharmaceutical product development and manufacturing company headquartered right here in Northfield, and their company resides right next to the East Cannon River Trail. And they made a donation last night for a seating area, bike racks, and bike repair station right adjacent to their company there along the East Cannon River Trail. And I know that that will be a huge benefit for not only their employees when they want to take a lunch break, right? They can just get right out and walk on that trail. But also the general public and all of our visitors that come and want to utilize that space, they now have easy access to rest or take care of their bike. I know what it's like to get a flat tire. That's not necessarily so fun, but having that donation from Aurora is just very generous, and we're really grateful.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. We salute them for doing that. That's it. They saw the need and just did something about it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the tax levy. We have talked about that for quite some while, and we had Ben in last week to kind of explain some of the things. You went with a preliminary tax levy increase of 15%. It could have been as high as 15.9, and listening to Rich talk about it, much of the council kind of apologized and said that's going to be a little bit lower than that, or they're going to try to get that lower than that. That's a big number. Tell us about how that was. You arrived at that.
Yeah, so each year we start out, actually our city staff are probably starting the budget process back in May with really looking holistically at the organization in each department. And then in August, the council meets in a work session and really gets at high level, what are the needs out there? What are the opportunities and what's the budgetary potential impact of that? Where do we want to go and how do we need to get there? And our budget is a major driver of that. If we really want to ensure that our community is open, safe, and welcoming, one of the easy things that we can do for that for some of our folks in the community is make sure that when they enter City Hall that they have someone that speaks their language that can help them get a building permit or know how to where to go for the DMV office. So that's a small part, very small part of the budget, but there's things like that that really affect the quality of life of our community, fixing our buildings. That's our capital improvement plan. And so this budget really connection between what we want to accomplish in our strategic plan, the budget really affects that. And so yes, last night the council approved a preliminary levy, a 15% increase. And as we're looking with our comparable cities, we know that that still does not put us even to the middle. We're on the low end for our, I believe, what we're levying per person. So we're watching those levels. It's really important that we maintain good operations, that we're meeting the needs of our community members. And again, this budget just helps us to accomplish that. And yes, we did hear clearly from individuals last night on the council that we really want to look at, okay, how can we bring that down to make sure that it's more manageable? And taking into account that this double-digit levy increases really hit our low-income and people that are in fixed incomes the hardest. And just really want to take that into account and making sure that we're doing the best for the community. So,
All right. Ben, maybe you could explain, I know you did last week quite a bit, explain what is kind of driving the increase this year. Once again, it's not a done deal yet, but could you kind of recap that?
Sure. So just to put it in perspective, it's a $35 million total budget that we're working with. And so that includes all of our enterprise utility funds as well. And so the general fund, the operating funds, about $15.7 million for that overall. Some of the driving issues that we have related to that is our revenue in all of the other areas have been pretty much flat. So city government really has limited revenue resources under the state of Minnesota. So the general fund, about 56% of our total revenue in our general fund comes from property taxes, which is a heavy piece. So we really haven't seen trending of fees really going up. Intergovernmental revenue is the next largest piece at 26%. So local government aid takes up about 80% of that. So we get $3.3 million from the state of Minnesota. And we did get a little bit of an increase there, a little under 1% from the state of an increase. So part of it is, even if we have modest expenditure increases, the property tax is going to take up the biggest portion of that, even though it is only like a portion of our operating budget. So that's one challenge, is limited alternative revenue sources, I guess, related to city operations, where the property tax is a little heavier reliance on that. On the expenditure side, some of the things that are driving that is we do have the city's completed a compensation analysis for wages and benefits to attract and retain employees, with really a goal to be in the middle of our comparable groups, not to be a leader at the pay level or at the lowest end, but in the middle. And that's that alone would be about 4% increase, a little bit over that we'd have. We also have some positions that are getting added. The city council has approved a body camera implementation. It's really been going well. But with that, they knew we'd also need a records management person added into our police department to deal with some of that. And so that position is going to be hitting it. We also has, I think, as the mayor, I think, mentioned, we've added a part-time translation person who's doing now Spanish translation. We didn't really have that before, or is extremely limited. And now we're really translating most of our communications that go out, especially written, is going out in Spanish. We also have some program coordinator working on climate and equity goals, has some additional tax impact as well. So those are driving some of the increase. And then probably the last one maybe to highlight is the we do have some increase in our debt service. We are, I would say, mid to low on our debt in comparison to other cities. That's really going to infrastructure projects, though. So some of that relates to things like the roundabout project that we did, particularly the underpasses that I think have been very well received, added safety. But that's driving up a little bit some of the cost of the tax levy as well. So those are a few of the examples. But I did mention, too, and I think I mentioned last week and I highlighted it in the presentation, because of those wage studies that we've done, we're a little bit behind on some of the budget processes. In fact, the council's had two recent closed sessions in addition to all of the other meetings. So they've had an added work level on really complicated things and a lot of time spent on that. So those are some of the things as well that are driving some of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that there are some personnel requests, I guess, within the budget. There are several departments looking to increase the number of employees that they have in each department. Is that going to happen this year? Does that look feasible, doable at all?
Yeah, Jeff. So, yes, you're right. There are some new positions that are included in the base budget, but there are, over and above that, we have a streets and parks horticulturist, civil engineer, police officer, and two positions within community development, our MPB, station manager, and our Spanish translator, moving that from part-time to full-time. So again, these all have that underlying effect that can help us accomplish our goals. So then the question is, how quickly do you want to get there? Do you take more of a measured approach, or are these strategic enough we should just move right into getting them accomplished? And then it's a matter of how do you do that? I think we heard the American Rescue Plan dollars have been thrown out there to see whether or not that could help reduce that overall levy that the council chooses to move forward in December. So some of these, like the Streets and Parks Horticulturists, some may not know this, but we have some really dedicated volunteers out there. Longtime Northfielders would know her as Judy Code.
Mm-hmm.
Judy Code is, I'm not sure her age. Maybe I shouldn't say that.
Yeah,
Judy Code is such a faithful volunteer.
Unbelievable.
Yes. Yeah. But we don't have her understanding of plants, landscaping, and things like that necessarily mm-hmm. on our city staff. And so if we can bring on somebody that can work alongside Judy and some of our volunteers that have that knowledge and understanding, that could be beneficial citywide. I mean, the last thing that we want to do, some people really know this, a big beef of mine, right? You plant a tree, but you don't take care of it. And then the tree eventually dies. That's waste. And we really don't want to do that. So ensuring that we have knowledge, expertise on staff to really harness the volunteer efforts of some of our gardeners out there that really want to improve our spaces. So
I would love to talk more about this, but we're cutting it off right there because of time. We've got to move on. I want to talk about the Craywood development. That was, I don't know if it's unexpected for everyone, but mm-hmm. certainly me, I didn't see that coming. I'd heard about the environmental assessment worksheet that has been discussed, but it moved forward or moved to the council level yesterday mm-hmm. before the meeting. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the city received a public petition signed by over 600 individuals. I believe it came from the EQB, Environmental Quality Board. I think the petition was submitted at that state level. The city of Northfield received the actual petition or the word from the EQB at the state level on late Friday. So once we received that petition and that letter from the EQB, then that moved us into a little bit different direction. There's a pause here that we need to have on the TIF application, the rezoning, and the plat all related to that Craywood project. So what we will be doing, we had an initial just sort of presentation from City Attorney Hood last night, just in terms of what that means, what do we need to do in terms of process and making sure that we're following state law with how we handle this, and also respecting and honoring, I would say, the people that brought the petition forward. That's really important. So what we do know is that the project doesn't necessarily meet the threshold for preparation of a mandatory EAW, Environmental Assessment Worksheet, according to state law. Therefore, the preparation of an EAW is discretionary or one that may be required by the city council in event that the council grants a petition for an EAW. So the council took no official action last night. We heard just that initial conversation with Attorney Hood. We also heard from people that submitted the petition last night. What this does is it gives our staff, will be preparing a couple different resolutions, one to for the city council to vote on that gives permission to move forward with doing an EAW, and another one saying basically it's not needed. So that will be on the October 5th City Council agenda.
Now, let me see if I got this straight. They went to the EAW, went through, you have to go through the state to get that EAW, or at least file through the state, is that right? Yeah. But the state, from at that point, if it doesn't meet that threshold, then it goes just straight to the city council and you have the option of one or the other. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And then the council must review the evidence presented to demonstrate whether it has the potential for significant environmental effects. And there's a specific criteria list to go through that. Mm-hmm. So that's what the staff would be working on to bring to the city council for review and consideration to either recommend moving ahead with an EAW or recommend to deny the action related to that. And so that will be coming on October 5th. It does fall into what we call a quasi-judicial review of the city council or authority. So it's a little bit different than most of the legislative work that the council does, where they're kind of it's more of like a legal, like almost kind of like a judge or a jury, I guess, with the mm-hmm. council. So they have an added level of responsibility for impartiality related to review of this information. And that's why they're more limited to really shouldn't be contacting or working with the, talking directly to the developer or interested parties or petitioners related to the petition that's before them, because it's really kind of a legal duty to review that from an impartial standpoint, kind of like jurors mm-hmm. need to be impartial with that. So it's a little bit different emphasis that the attorney made last night. But ultimately, the options will come back. The real mm-hmm. purpose of the EAW is to disclose the if it's determined that there's potential for significant environmental impacts. The three areas mainly identified were the Rusty Patch Bee, which does have some endangered species protections related to the destruction of the bee itself. Secondarily, some concern that there might be a wetland identified was one thing, and then the third one relates to some traffic concerns. And so those are the main areas of the petition that are being kind of questioned about that review. If the EAW is pursued, really the purpose of the EAW, number one, is to determine if an environmental impact statement is necessary, which is a very involved and time-intensive and significant environmental review that would be a next stage that the EAW would determine whether or not that is needed, and then the council would need to act on that at that point. The other thing an EAW possibly could do is if there are significant environmental concerns identified, there also could be some mitigating measures identified as part of that process, too.
Mm-hmm. All right. A couple of more questions involved with that. You'd mentioned that it doesn't meet the threshold for an automatic EAW. What is that threshold? How far, or was it significantly far from the threshold? Was it close? Do we know what that is?
That's a little beyond some of my level of detail to get into the specifics of that. But I would say there are probably certain environmental conditions that would be very specific to that. And so apparently the ones identified related to the status of the bees and that wouldn't automatically trigger that. You'd probably have to bring a different guest in to get into that level of detail. I'm sure the staff might have covered that last night, but it's not registering my brain, I guess.
The other thing would be who pays for it. Well, Rich and I were talking earlier on. It's not the petitioner that pays for it, which would be, in this case, the folks from Northfield Shed. Would it be the developer? Would it be Rebound Schmidt and Stencil? Would it be the city of Northfield or the state of Minnesota? If you do get that, it's probably going to cost, I would imagine, tens of thousands of dollars. Nothing's cheap in this in the world of consulting. Who gets to pay for that?
Yeah, you had a good estimate there, Jeff. That was what the city attorney said last night, is it'd be probably in the tens of thousands of dollars. So you're right on board with what he said.
I've been following it for a while.
The city code does call out that if the council determines that it's necessary to have an EAW, that's a cost that can be passed along to the developer is the option. So it'd either be the city or the developer, I guess, as part of that. But there is the ability to pass that on as a cost of the process review.
All right. We're just about out of time. Anything else from either last night's meeting or anything else, other information you'd like to pass along?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
Much appreciated. A lot of information there. And folks, if you missed some of this or all of it, it's available on our website, kymnradio.net. Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell, City Administrator Ben Martin, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
News with a side of sports. Tim's coming up in just a couple of minutes. We're 60 seconds away from Rich Larson with an update.
Severe weather events this month highlighted the need for accurate weather safety information in a timely manner.